You know what this is like? It's like those old movies we both love.
Now I'm going to tell you my whole plan, and then I'm going to come up with some absurd and convoluted way to kill you, and you'll find an equally convoluted way to escape.
Sounds good to me.
Well, this ain't that kind of movie.
Welcome to another movie podcast. the show that does bonuses for you once a month and releases them 5 months later. I'm Oscar. With me today is only
Ralph.
This is February's bonus episode release. Obviously,
bonus.
Coming out later. Let's just say our quick spiels here at the top, and then we'll go into our review, our main review today, the only review, which will be Get Out, by the way, for those listening. Just Get Out, and that's it. Feedback, as always, can be sent to podmoviecast@gmail.com. Twitter @podmoviecast as well. You can follow the show's main website at otherpodcast.com. Everything is on there. Our current marathon's on there, the one we're about to start now, which is animated features, right? We decided. And then what else do we have out there? The rest of the bonus episodes. What's our current bonus? Yeah. And the ones coming out next.
A future calendar coming?
Yeah, future calendar. That's what we talked about. I've been thinking about it. I'm lazy, but I will get to it.
Right.
Yeah, so all that shit is on there. You can follow me on Twitter if you want to, at Armen Filmmaker, which is filmmaker with A-R-M-E-N, Ralph.
You could follow me at Gamer Ralph with 2 R's and an F.
So, Ralph, are you ready for this review?
I sort of am.
Sort of? All right, let's get started on the movie Get Out.
I got hypnotized last night.
Nigga, get the fuck out of here.
Yo, to quit smoking, but it's Rose's mom's a psychiatrist, so...
Bruh, I don't care if the bitch is Ayanna Van Zant, okay? She can't fix my motherfucking life. You ain't getting in my head.
I know she called me off guard, right? But it's cool, because I'm cured. It worked.
Bruh, how you not scared of this, man? Look, they could have made you do all types of stupid shit. They'd have you fucking barking like a dog.
Flying around like you're a fucking pigeon.
Looking ridiculous, okay? Or, I don't know if you know this, white people love making people sex slaves and shit.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they're not a kinky sex family, dog.
Look, Jeffrey Dahmer was eating the shit out of niggas' heads, okay? But that was after he fucked the heads. Do you think they saw that shit coming? Hell no, okay?
A young black man visits his white girlfriend's family estate, filled with strange lack of black people, or strange black people, honestly, and awkward racial conversations with the whites. The young man finds a terrible truth that puts his life in danger. This is Jordan Peele's directorial debut. He wrote and directed this film, if I'm not mistaken. And Jordan Peele, of course, from what's that show?
Key and Peele.
Key and Peele, which I have not seen.
You've never seen a skit?
No, I've seen one skit.
Okay.
The More episode, More Please. That was really funny. I laughed a lot. I just haven't seen the episodes. Anyway, this film stars Daniel Kaluuya, Allison Williams, Bradley Whitford, which is from Cabin in the Woods and The White House show, what's it called? The West Wing.
The West Wing.
Yeah,
I was like, the White House. So what are you talking
and I'm
about?
Thinking, what's the... It's also something with W. Catherine Keener, Caleb Landry Jones, Stephen Root is in this movie, Lirael Howery, Lakeith Stanfield, who opens the movie, actually. Marcus Anderson, and I also want to definitely highlight eventually in this review, Ralph, Betty Gabriel, who plays Georgina, if you remember that character. All right, so let's get started. This movie is getting a lot of buzz. It's been kind of the hit wonder of the box office right now. It's really unprecedented in February for having films like Logan and like Get Out to have such a splash at the box office, and critically too. You know, all around, everyone's loving these films in February. You know, too early, you know, in the year. People are going to forget this movie when the Oscars come up on the awards. But it's good. So what do you think about the hype of this movie? Does it merit all that stuff? Is it as good as the hype has been, as the box office numbers have been, as the, you know, all that stuff, the powerfulness?
I would say so. There's definitely, how do I put it? It's not really a horror movie, because it's not. It's a thriller, I guess, if you want to say it.
I call it a horror movie.
You call it a horror movie?
For black people.
Well, I didn't feel like a horror movie most of the movie, I guess. Mm-hmm. a good half of it, at least. That's why. Mm-hmm. There's horror aspects, sure. There's stuff like that. But I would overall say, yeah, there's the hype for it, all the reviews that are saying that it's really good. I do agree. It's a really good movie. I liked what I saw. I enjoyed what is being spoken about, and that's a good message also. It's kind of like puts you in a mindset of the main character.
Right.
So, yeah, overall, I think this is a great job. And also saying directorial debut for Jordan Peele, like, it's like a yes and no for me. Just because technically, it is his first movie, but like he's done that show, Key and Peele, so many years. He's basically workshopped so many things in there. Like
I'm not saying he wasn't like prepared.
Sure. What I'm saying, he is a well prepared man, and for his directorial debut,
right. And other directorial debuts, they've done short films and music videos.
Sure. And that's what I'm saying. He's basically done so many short films, with like his skits.
David Fincher is a good example where I think of his career. He started with Alien 3, right? That was his directorial debut. That's why everyone calls it. It's his first movie and his debut. But it was like he's been making Madonna music videos for a long time before that, and he was excellent at it, and he did some of the most iconic of those music videos. He was an excellent director already before, you know how it goes. So let's talk first impressions, I guess, and then we'll get into some of the stuff, because there's so much to talk about. I think this movie has a lot to talk about. It's so much to talk about. Now, I don't know if it's good or oddly enough or a good thing or a bad thing, but Roth and I are kind of in the middle ground in this. We're like in the gray area. We're not white or we're not black. So some of the stuff won't fit with us, but we also live in Chicago, in a big metropolitan United States area. And so we do see some of this too, and we understand. We have friends in both white and black, so we kind of, I don't know, we're kind of like bystanders, but at the same time, what are we? I don't know. So I don't know how you saw this movie, Roth, but I saw it as very interesting, intriguing. It is, it's equal parts like The Office awkwardness, and because of the conversations they're all having, and then equal parts horror. And it plays like a run of the mill horror movie. But sure, it's the best thing about this movie, besides maybe the performances of like especially three people, I think. It seems like this movie is. Has absolutely no fat around its edges. Like every scene, except for maybe one, and we'll talk about that scene, is completely necessary, and it adds to its value when you're thinking back on it, or as a foreshadowing technique, or as a callback thing by the end of the movie. And I think it's a wonderful script overall. I think that's the best thing about it. What do you think?
Yeah, I would say it's well written for sure. It plays a lot like it reminded me when I saw it of Halloween, the Michael Myers movie, where it's the beginning where you see something bad happen, right? And then it kind of like leads on to the story of what's going on with our main actor and like overall world, and then it gets to the kind of really heinous, crazy shit. Minus the slasher of Michael Myers here, the horror aspect of that comes in later is actually really, really cool. Really cool twist also. But yeah, you could totally tell like it's a conversation he's had many times with himself and other people that he's brought this up before, especially probably where he falls in line where he has to have like, Jordan Peele, where he has to have go to like meetings and stuff like in Hollywood, and I'm pretty sure there's a lot of like white people everywhere and he's the only black guy or things of that nature, so right. I'm pretty sure he's been in those rooms a lot, and like his mind goes there. I could see it because I've totally also kind of been in that room where I'm the only non-white person in a room.
I imagine every black person has gone through this.
Right, exactly. And I've been there also,
yeah.
I do feel similar, not as strong as, you know, he makes it feel in this movie, but I do feel very similar where I'm just like, I am totally left out. I kind of want to say a lot of things right now, but at the same time, I'm going to hold my tongue.
Right, and just the other day, I have these customers, it's not a couple, but they're a man and a woman who are friends, right? They come after work to the store. I work at Starbucks.
Yeah.
And they come to the store, like, every night, almost, and I speak Spanish to them. They're Mexican. They're not related to me at all, but I would hear sometimes, like, is that your, like, parents? Or I'm like, no, they're not related. Not everyone's related. The way they say it, I'm like, no, it's not that. We just speak Spanish to them. And they'll think that my other Hispanic coworker is, like, I'm also his brother or something. Like, nope, that's not my brother. That's just a Puerto Rican I know.
Yep.
You know, it's like, that's it.
Right, exactly.
I don't say that, or I will say, like, no, he's not, and that's it. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
Bite my tongue on it. Whatever, we all look like. So I think this movie it brings up those conversations in a fun way. It doesn't it beats you over the head with it, maybe, but not in a bad way either. I can't. There's a weird emotion there because it is super easy and then super hard to talk about this movie. You know, both things at once. You know what I'm saying? I don't know where to start with this movie though, but let's start with the opening. Lakeith Smith, I think that's the actor's name from Atlanta. Have you seen Atlanta?
I have not.
Okay. He opens the film with and it's also a horror. It is a horror movie. It is It Follows in the beginning.
Yeah.
Where like this black guy is walking around in a suburb, in a clearly white suburb. There's no one around. He's walking. He's looking for a house, I think, right now.
He's on the phone with somebody too.
Oh, he's on the phone with somebody. And his car drives up and circles back. It like a horror movie. Yeah. Like a black man's worst nightmare.
Right.
And
the great thing is his reaction. It's a normal reaction.
I love his reaction, like, nope, not having any of that shit.
Yeah.
And then he's walking away, trying, you know, not confront and not start anything. And
also not wanting to fucking get into
it. It's like in the heat of the night thing.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
And then the guy gets out of the car. He's wearing some weird medieval looking scary mask and knocks him over the head and stuffs him in his trunk and drives away. And like that's the beginning of it. It's like they're weeding. It's like they're taking out all the black men in this area. It felt very creepy and weird and scary. It was scary.
Yeah.
So did you think it was a fine opening for a film? Like set you up for a great hour and a half?
I think what it does is sets you up right away that this is going to be a horror movie or this horror-like movie. Mm-hmm. Some aspects, like even though it's not there, it'll get there. And it's telling you that, like, because the movie does, like after that, the first, I would say two-thirds of the movie isn't really like, and so the last third really is the movie.
Yeah, but there's so many creepy things along the way.
There's creepy things all over.
Like,
yes.
There are signs that are given to the main character.
For sure. Disregarding those.
Right.
But what I'm saying is that if you want to get into, like, the meat and potatoes of the things, like, everything's kind of close to the last, you know, the twist and everything that comes in, it's pretty crazy there. So that's where, like, the real horror stuff, it is creepy all along. It's like a big build-up, right?
Yeah.
A very slow thing going on.
Yeah, and a big build-up to also an exposition dump with a television screen towards the end. Or, no, after the third act for sure.
Can you not distract them?
Right?
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm saying. What?
No, it's just a big build-up from...
Right, the creepy stuff.
Yeah.
What I like about this movie is that in horror movies, especially like the 80s B movies, not the B movies, they're popular, but they're movies.
Sure.
And, you know, they would clearly see a creepy guy, like in Kevin Nolan's, to make fun of that. You see this creepy guy clearly saying you're going to die if you proceed, and they still do it. A lot of those reasons were stupid in those old movies. Most of the movies are still stupid today, even. Like, why proceed?
Right.
Why go in that house? Why antagonize
the
villain, right?
Yeah. Why hide behind all those chainsaws?
The reason he keeps getting into trouble and not getting out when he should have, and we know to get out because we're watching the film.
Of course.
We know it's the title of the movie. But like, if we were in that situation, we might be following the same trajectory because he's a nice guy. He doesn't want to be awkward.
Yeah, exactly.
Or to say, like, hey, I feel really creeped out. He wants to, like, just say, like, you know what? That's fine. You know, I can get past this little moment that feels weird. You know, he keeps being nice. His niceness, almost like Midwestern niceness, I guess, keeps him in the house when it's too late to leave later on.
Yeah.
Which is funny. And I think it's a nice subversion plus, like, a good reason.
Well, do you really think he would have been able to get out beforehand?
No. Arguably, like, if he tried, like, in the beginning, or, like, okay, this is way too weird. The only two black people here are servants, and they're acting weird, right? If he tried to get out then, something would have happened. They would have probably just kidnapped him, honestly. You know, but I think they wanted him, I mean, spoiler alert now, I guess, but they wanted the Bradley Whitford and the wife, they wanted him to be paraded around, you know, when all the white guys come in for that party.
Yeah.
And they're doing that crazy bingo action thing going on.
Yeah.
And Stephen Root, who, I mean, so many intricate stuff going on there with that character. And he's like, he chooses him for his whatever. Did you feel like that's a good enough reason, like, to stay? Like, do you feel like we've convinced
yes and
that?
No. I mean, I've convinced myself many ways to get out of things. I would have done something where I would have shot a text and deleted it to my friend and be like, hey, my dog is sick. Like, tell me my dog is sick. You know, call me saying my dog is sick, that I have to come home.
Really?
And I would totally, like, I would have done that after the meeting with the brother. Just because of the fact that it got really awkward really fast.
Right.
And it felt completely out of place, and they were obviously hiding something. And not just them, but like the brother obviously was just a big racist.
I think that Chris was like being like whittled down in a way. Like he kept seeing these white people who were like not racist, but they were race aware all the time. Like, oh, if I would have voted for Obama a third term, I would have, right? I think the camouflage of that worked so well that he was only thinking of those terms and not really realizing that they were just keeping him there waiting to bite, waiting to jump him and kidnap him.
Well, I think the parents did a great job and sort of the girlfriend, but I'm saying, like, after that, like, you see the two slave parents or the two servants,
right,
who looked kind of really like, I don't pay these people, like they just live here,
right?
I felt a lot like that. And then also there's this whole like brother who's clearly racist and clearly wants to let something out of the bag, and they're telling him not to.
You can tell he's like the runt of the litter. Like, you're just the enforcer. You have no brains to,
like
your sister to bring them in. You don't have your mother's hypnotizing skills. You don't have your father's.
You have nothing.
Right, you have nothing. You just came from the family.
Exactly.
So many things to talk about. What did you think? Let's talk about the surprises that this movie got you, and then we'll figure out a way to jump around, because I want to talk about every scene almost. I want a full breakdown of this movie. That's how good I think it is. My biggest surprise, genuine surprises, not see coming at all, even though they were kind of foreshadowed too in a good way, is that one is that, what was her name, the girlfriend? I'm going to pull it up right now because I want to be right. Rose. Rose? Her name is Rose? Okay. Rose is into the deal. Like, I really thought that she was looking for her keys until she was faking it. Like, when she was faking it, and she's like, oh, I'm actually with this family. You're being kidnapped. I don't give a fuck about you. I'm like, oh, shit. I thought she was with them. I thought it was just a thing that the parents
did.
She
sold it to you.
Yeah, she sold it to me. And more so, I thought the hypnotism worked against her, not in her favor. I thought that the mother was hypnotizing her daughter because she's like, my daughter's into black guys. You know, not a big deal. But we'll have her go out and get us guys for it. And then she kept wiping the memory. And that's what those pictures were in that crawl space.
Yeah.
You know, maybe. I don't know why they were there, but they were there. I thought that that was more of a, not like her trophy collection, which it is now, and that, you know, I realized. But it was more of like her past that she keeps forgetting. Like, I really was convinced that she was being hypnotized too.
I got you.
So that was a surprise for me. And the other one is the fact that they were actually mind swapping. Like,
yeah.
That surprised me because I really thought they were hypnotizing these people to be their slaves, which is what his friend says a lot. Which his friend is also another perfect character because he's like the audience. He's exactly what the audience is.
Yeah.
He's the audience yelling, don't run up the stairs, you bitch, run off the front door kind of thing.
Right.
He's exactly like with more color and funniness to it.
Sure.
And He says that to his friend at one point, like, you trying to make you your sex slave and all this stuff. And some of those white people at that party look at him that way. And like Kate Smith, essentially, we find out later that that's not really him. And him, he's in there in the deep down, whatever they call it. What's that expression that...
sunken, I think, or the...
The sunken place?
Yeah, I think so.
He's in the sunken place, right? But he is being controlled by the ex, the dead husband, right, of that white woman.
Right.
So, like, that's when I realized, oh, later on, like, they're actually mind-swapping.
Yeah.
That surprised me because I did not know it was that much science horror into it.
Yeah.
So, what about, did you have any surprises like that?
I would agree with you on the mind-swapping thing.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't think that it was at all. I thought it was completely hypnotism.
Right.
And I thought it was just like I said, like, just, I'm just having slaves, like, you know,
right?
And we're parading them around in front of everybody, and they look how nice they act. That's what I thought immediately,
right?
And then the last one was the grandparents. I didn't see that it was them. Like, I just it hints towards it,
right?
And you don't even think about it,
yeah. Which gets me into Georgina, who is the grandmother, I guess, in there,
sure.
Played by Betty Grable. That actress killed that role. She did such a good... She's in the trailer, too. If you've seen the trailer out there, you know what we're talking about. But I hope you've seen the movie by now, if you're listening this far. Georgina, that actress manages... I don't know how she does it, but she manages to convey a woman that is black and is in there and had a life before coming to this place. At the same time, she's playing that person trying to get out in her own mind and control her body. But she's playing that character and then seemingly can't control her actions. And then you're still seeing the, I guess the grandmother in this case, being the subservient, you know, like, oh, everything's going to be fine, Chris, don't worry about it kind of role. And I'm just going to clean your room and I accidentally unplug your phone off the charger, which is another neat way of, like, not being able to call out, you know, instead of, like, oh, it's bad cell reception, which is always a stupid reason. That was nice.
Really is, yeah.
So, yeah, I think that she had that inner struggle locked down in some scenes. And some scenes more than others, but some scenes are meant to be played more and outwardly. And she was, like, a weird, scary figure. She kept appearing in the background, walking from room to room, like, what is this girl doing? And then, obviously, after you know everything, that's another great thing about this movie, is that once you've seen the whole movie and you know what the truth behind everything, everything in the movie is, like, seen differently.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't wait for a second viewing.
Right.
Just because I know I'm going to look at it and I'm going to be like, damn, that's fucked up.
My favorite thing that I remembered is, you know that scene when the cop stops them after they hit the deer?
Yes.
Which is one of the very few jump scares in the movie. There's like two only, which is, thank God. But they had a few in there. So they hit this deer and the cop, who is being, I mean, he's being, I guess, more today's society of normal cop, right? He's being a little racial, whatever. And he asked for the guy's ID, even though Chris's ID, even though he wasn't driving, was Rose. And she protects him. And it was a nice, it was one of the many scenes that made me convinced that she was on the up and up and not really a bad person. And then I realized that the reason she did that is so the cop won't know his name and won't, you know, like potentially remember his name. And if there's a file of a missing persons, like, he did it. She did it to protect the family,
yeah,
because they want to make Chris disappear later on. Like, that threw me off.
Right.
Like,
I actually, cool. See, I didn't even think about like that. I thought about it afterwards. It's more like the cop is probably in on it because they were really close to the house.
Right.
The cop is probably in on it, and they're just, this is a scenario they play to make her look even cooler.
That's even cool too. Better. I've heard that reason too. Actually, yeah. I didn't catch that, but I caught it as like, well, no, this is a real cop. He's being actually like racial, whatever. But like at the same time, if he actually pulls this guy in or checks up on his name,
yeah,
it's gonna raise that red flags later.
That makes a lot more sense. Yeah.
Right. So I'm like, that's so cool, and that's a great little writing tool. That right. This is a great script. I love it so much. What do you think of the whole family dynamic? We talked about the brother and a little bit about Rose, but I mean, my favorite's gotta be Catherine Keener, who plays the best hypnotism girl ever. Like,
yeah,
the way she manages to, I mean, it's all very, like, on the surface kind of hypnotism. It's not like they explain it all that much. And it's all very, like,
everything that she does is explained.
Yeah, everything she does is explained. And they kind of bring it up in a way like, oh, you smoke? You know, I can do hypnotism to get the smoke out of you. At some point, they force it in there. And his niceness, his being nice, and not being able to put his foot down on not wanting to be hypnotized, gets him in trouble. Obviously, it's the main reason he gets in trouble, because she develops a basically a relationship with him, and to the tea kettle being hit with the spoon in a certain way, or the circulation movements,
the sound of it
gets him to immediately go to the sunken place, and that's what fucks it all up for every other slave in there. So I really loved her. She was really the creepiest and clearly the apex center of all this shit that's going on.
Right, exactly.
Right. So, yeah. Anything you have about that scene, that stuff, or did you wish for more of that, or is that fine? Or
No. I thought it was fine. I worked out for me. Even that explanation video where he sees the grandfather explaining everything and how he passed it down the family and all right. that stuff. That was really cool.
Right. And you realize that people from that video are still alive, and black people.
I like also that right. You come to the realization of like, the auction was kind of like, and I'm going to come to like some parts of the movie one of the parts of the movie that kind of fails for me.
Okay.
And only after the movie, though. It worked for me during the movie, but okay. After the movie, it kind of failed for me because it seemed pointless right after. It's the auction. The auction seemed pointless afterwards because it almost looked like they picked him to groom for that person. Like, he was groomed. A groom pick,
like yeah, like you see Rose later on, like looking at basketball players,
yeah,
like possibly the next person wants an athletic black person,
right? Well, exactly. Well, that just looks like a very broad generalization. They just want a tall, athletic person, right? That's cool and all, right? But this one is like,
well, I also think the family's playing two favorites. Like, I think you're both right and wrong.
Yeah,
well, it is pointless, but also like they want their money.
Yeah, yeah, no, I get it. It's still an auction. I honestly felt like right. This one was like super catered to this guy, and the auction felt kind of pointless because we knew he was gonna buy him. And the only reason he's there is either to upsell him more, mm-hmm. or because you could have charged anything for him. You could have just been like, you want him, this specific type of person. Right. Like, I'm, whatever my normal price is, five times it. Like, and you could have just done that.
Or it really was like the whole pre-auction conversation stuff was really getting to know him. Like, oh, you're a photographer. Oh, okay. This guy's going to want you. You know, like, and then he talks to him. And then,
sure.
And it's funny because Stephen Root's character, who is that white guy who's blind, it's funny because I don't find that guy as racist.
Yeah.
It is because of the way he talked to him.
Yeah.
Talked to him like a human being.
He did.
He did kind of over-explain a little bit on his friends. Like, yeah, they're idiots. Don't worry about them, you know, kind of thing. And they are. People are like, we have friends like that. They do that. And it's fine. We're not going to hang them up on the street either.
I can name a handful right now.
Right now I can too. And it's fine. I've made mistakes too before. I say something stupid. But I don't mean it. I'm not racist either. So whatever. And he is talking to him in a very human way. And obviously, of course, he's the guy who wants him the most. But it's funny how he can still do that. There's like different levels of A, racism, and B, like this sense of like getting what's owed.
Yeah.
Like they feel like they deserve to take these people for themselves because they're like, we're white. We can use you better than you can use yourself.
Yeah.
You know, even though.
Well, and especially him, I think he sees it. He doesn't care about the race. If it was a white, black, Hispanic, doesn't matter.
Right.
He didn't care. In the end, he just wanted somebody, you know, that could fulfill his goals, right? That worked out for him, and the fact that he's black was the fact that they bring up the whole subject of it during the auction or before that was that the black people are the in thing now. Because
that's another
because
thing.
Black people are more athletic because black people.
It made me think of Dear White People.
Yeah,
you know, there's that scene when one of the black characters is like, who's not trying to be white, but is essentially going for white comedy stuff and stuff like that. She's into like, why are we against these guys? All the white guys wants to be like us. They want to rap and dress like us and talk. You know, they have our culture in their grasp. You know, because they want us. They want to be us. Yeah. And it reminds me of that scene, of course, or that scene reminded me of that. But yeah, that's good.
Right. No, I get it, but I just felt it felt a little lackluster afterwards. It all did feel catered.
I hear you.
Like I said, I didn't hate the scene. I'm not saying it. It does take a little bit out of it for me. Just a little bit.
No, I can totally see that. That's not a big problem. The only scene.
Not many problems overall in the movie.
It's a very
tight movie. You said in the beginning, the movie does. The fat is trimmed here. Yeah. There is obviously fat. You can't trim all of it, but there's a little bit of it. Nothing crazy.
Here's the only thing I didn't really agree with, but even this scene I didn't hate either.
I might agree with you here, though.
It's when his friend, who's awesome, by the way, he's a friend indeed. I like his friend a lot. His name is Rod.
They're ride or die homies.
Yeah, they are. For sure. He's so cool. He asks the right questions. He goes about it in the right way. He's a TSA agent, which is always funny because
it's
so funny.
Right.
His name is Rod in the movie. Yeah. He eventually at some point goes to the cops when he actually knows something shitty and shady is going down, and he finds out about like Kate Smith's character, the guy in the beginning of the movie, that he's actually been missing and everyone's looking for him and shit. So he goes to the cops. He sees a detective, also another black woman detective.
Yeah.
And he's talking and explaining the whole movie to her, and she laughs it off. She invites all the cops in.
To have a good time.
To have a good time with it. That's the only scene that I didn't agree with 100%.
I liked it for the fact that
it was funny.
For the fact that it was funny, for sure. Right. But it also like makes sense to have it in there for the fact that you know the guy explored options. So you know he even went out of his way.
Which is why I don't hate it either.
It's not a bad scene. It does go a little too long.
Yeah.
But other than that, I would agree with you. That is one scene who doesn't... It doesn't need to be
And
there.
Also, I've heard someone say to me was it a review? I don't remember. I've talked to so many people about this movie. That they saw it as a... It's not like... Because he's black, he's jumping into his conclusions. Other black people wouldn't believe him either.
Right.
Like, it's just so ridiculous.
Yeah, no.
Like, it's a way to kind of even the playing field of what to believe.
Yeah, I know.
What's ridiculous.
I heard an interview a review saying the same thing.
Maybe that's where I got it from.
Yeah, and I agree. But at the same time, like, what I like about it is also, like, when he does, like...
He whittles down the options before leaping into the big finale.
Right, exactly. Right. At the very end.
Yeah.
Well, you know, like, it doesn't just feel like... Oh, what? Like, it's just there. It feels more like you knew he explored options, and the only other thing he can think of was, I have to do this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it kind of made sense.
Yeah, and one of the great things also about this movie is that every single person's objective is com- completely 100% clear and confident. They know if he gets out, they have to kill him. They can't get out. They all must die in exchange. If
right, exactly.
Like that resolution is in there. The conviction is in there in all the characters. He has to get out. When he realized he has to get out, and especially, I mean, he should have really realized it right away when he accidentally put the flash on that character, on like Keith Smith's character. And remember, he kind of...
Yeah.
Which is very cool because they have to rehypnotize him. And that obviously sets up the finale, and that's an obvious solution coming up. But he sets the flash to Flash. Apparently, they're very sensitive, this hypnotized people, to Flash. And it brings them back out of the sunken place into their real personality. Which is so cool because he's like, his first thought, that guy, is not to run away himself. Is to tell this guy to get the fuck out. Which is so cool.
Yeah.
And so very, like, heartwarming for that character because it kind of says a lot more about him from the first scene of the movie,
right,
than most movies ever do for characters throw away like him. It was nice. It was a nice scene. And scary, too. So anyway, when he finds out he really has to get out, and they overplay this scene a little bit to me, but I guess the audience maybe are not as savvy. The cotton thing on his ears, which is perfect. I saw it coming too much. It's easy to see coming because they really linger on that shot. But I saw it coming already when he was already scratching at the armrest. I didn't need any more for me.
Neither did I, yeah.
But I can see people maybe needing that jump a bit more. So what do you think of the third act? Like, once he's, like, tied down, he's sunken, he realizes...
Just love that. Once it goes in, it goes in. It's completely... It's all in. There's no pulling us back from anything. We are... And I would say 90% of this movie is through our main character's perspective.
Yeah, totally.
And then at the very end of the movie, it's legitimately through his perspective, the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I actually really enjoyed the last part of the movie, or the last act.
Right. So what I love about this movie is that another part, the tightness of the script is that, that deer that they kill in the beginning, I like how he uses a deer head to kill the surgery father, right? The father who's a surgeon, who's doing the performance. And obviously, that scene, he doesn't kill Stephen Root's character, but he is dead basically because he's on an operating table with his head cut off. So
right, exactly. He's going to die.
He's going to die. And that's kind of cool. I just see that happening. Like, everyone gets their comeuppance. And even though the jig is up and not all the white people are dead, but the main people who are orchestrating this house of slaves are dead. And that's really the important thing.
Right.
But I love how what they did do also, Jordan Peele's script, I guess, did a good job to put a man who's never killed before getting to a point where he has to kill to get out. Like, I think I was convinced of a person needing to do that because they do spend some time on Chris's backstory about his mother and that he didn't make the phone call instead of watch TV and then didn't call 911 in time to call his,
sure,
to get help for his mother who was in a car accident, I believe.
Yeah.
Like, that was cool because not only does that affect him negatively, unfortunately, in the third act when he has to save Georgina, and he doesn't really truly understand that that's a white woman in there too, and that obviously backfires on him, but it does create awesome tension. But not only does it do that, but it adds to his personality and conviction to get the fuck out and to help himself instead of standing back like he's always been. And I thought that was really cool and nice. It was a good characterization, really nice. And it leads to shotguns and stuff. So let's talk about the ending. So he's choking out Rose. This is a scene where he's basically towards the end, everyone's dead, and she had the upper hand for a minute, and now he's choking her out. She's about to die. And a cop car pulls up. And your first thought is clearly everybody's first thought, I'm sure, which was what? Do you remember?
My first thought of when the cops show up.
Before he's fucked. Right. He is fucked.
Now she's fucked.
Because
no, if anything, she's saved and he's fucked. Right. That's basically what I saw right away.
Yeah, that's what I saw right away.
Because the girl's just going to be like, I'm obviously being attacked. I can turn this my way.
Right. And this is a black guy attacking a white girl.
Exactly.
Like, it's just so obviously. Right. Like, the movie's always aware of the racial sensitivity of every situation, whether it's conversation or mortal danger. It's always aware and in a funny way that makes you like, want to talk about it and not be awkward about it either. That's the best power of
my
movie.
Theater reacted immediately. They said, you fucked.
I went to primarily a black Hispanic theater and it was just perfect. It was a perfect crowd. It was the best crowd. And then he opened the car door and it said TSA or whatever. And like, oh shit. Everyone clapped and it was amazing. And it was a good reveal for that character.
As darkness.
We all love Rod for that.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, and he saved the day. And obviously, like, yeah, let's get out of here.
I mean, it ends perfect too, where Rogers goes like, "I don't want to tell you, I told you so."
but I told you so.
Like, it's just it's perfect because the character we've established his character to be that guy. Right. He doesn't feel ungenuine, you know, Rod or any of these guys. And you can see that everything he did it because he's been through. Like, he even explains it. Our main character, where he's like, he's a nice guy because, like, he gets it. Not everybody can see things. Like, you know, like, not everything's black and white. He doesn't want to see it that way either. He doesn't want to jump onto the overreaction of somebody, you know, reacting improperly to his, to him being there. You know, he does everything. You know, that's why he always downplays everything. He's like, no, it's okay. It's all good. That's why he's so easy to, like, here's my ID, officer. I don't care. Like, because I am the black guy in this scenario. I know what I'm going to be into. I know what they're going to ask of me immediately. Like, instead of me arguing it, and I'm going to do it anyway, let me just do it, get it over with, right?
Right.
And he kind of knows that. And unfortunately, it plays against him the whole movie. When his instincts, you could tell his instincts are telling him to do other things also, to, like, react and say no, or react and do other things. And towards the end, he lets that go. His instincts are in complete control. And he's saying, like, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to do this. And the only one soft part is when he saves Georgina. And obviously he does it because of his mother, and they play that out. Like, they foreshadowed the shit out of that.
Yeah, they did.
But yeah, like I said, it works out, man. The movie ends great. We didn't need anything else afterwards.
Right.
We know what happens.
It rewards multiple viewings, too. Like, right. I'm gonna buy this movie, probably. That's how confident I am. And right now, it's not, I mean, I know it's only February, but it's my number one of the year of this brand new year so far. It's pretty cool. Anything else on Get Out?
I can't think of anything. Great acting overall.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Writing is phenomenal as well. So, yeah, I mean, Jordan Peele knocked it out of the park.
Also, those trailers for the movie were pretty cool. They intrigued me.
They're not bad, yeah.
Yeah, it was like Clockwork Orange, kind of, a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, ultra-violent and weird. So that's Get Out. And you have been listening to another movie podcast. Where we did the sign out in the beginning, so
yep, we did.
Thanks for joining us. Thanks for sticking around for this bonus episode. Obviously, you'll probably listen to this 5 months down the road when it really releases, but no big deal.
No. I mean, listen, you're listening to this afterwards. It's okay. Don't worry about it. I got it. You're thinking, didn't that come out in February? Like, oh, it did. Oh, this is a bonus episode that came out. I get it. It's okay. Just next time donate.
How can people get it, Rob? If they donate?
Just next time donate.
Yeah.
And you'll get it when it came out. You'll understand why you should have gone and watched this movie.
It'll be more
topical.
But no,
it's okay. It's going to be out. You should be able to get it on VOD by then.
Right. It'll be more topical then, though. Like, don't you want to beat the masses?
Right, exactly.
Right? We're that important, right? No, we're not.
Sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes. All right, so that's it, Rob. I'm Oscar until then. And
I'm Rob.
Right on. See you later.
I hopefully forever.
Forever, yes. Oh, my God, yes.
Until then?
Right. All right, bye.
You will not remember the last hour and a half of what you have just seen. You will forget the contents of this movie.